Father, we're here this morning in your presence. We're here to worship you as you deserve to be worshiped. God, we love you. We come as we are. We're not here pretending. We're not here with images trying to uphold them. We're here as we are before our God. So God, we pray this morning that you would address each and every one of us where we are. God, you want to bring us beyond where we are right now. There are words we're going to hear this morning that are going to be directly speaking to our heart, and we want to respond to those words. We don't want to take your word casually. We want to take it as it really is, the word of God. So God, we pray for your mercy this morning. Reach us where we are and bring us out. Bring us out to where you want us to be. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a couple of announcements just before we get going. The City Youth Conference is coming up August 24th through 27th, and we've been handing out over the last number of weeks some hospitality forms and some lunch forms. If you could hand those in at the back on the way out, that's fine. And also, Roland was up here last week talking about his mission trip to Peru. We have actually put the link in the bulletin. If you go to any of the Facebook pages that are connected to Church in Toronto, you'll see the link there. We are suggesting that you don't give us the money unless it's absolutely necessary. We just want to make this as clean as possible, especially for Roland. This morning, the title of the message is Washed in the Blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let me talk about problems to begin with. I think we all have problems. I think we all know that there are global problems, issues that we continue to see on a daily basis. But the question that I want to kind of address this morning is, what is the answer? What's the solution? You know, because everybody knows we got problems. The question is, what is the answer? And of course, if you talk to a number of people, they're going to tell you what they think their answer is. And there, some people are completely convinced about their answer. And you know, a lot of times when we're looking for the answer, we're saying things like, you know, if they were not in our country, oh my goodness, it's their problem, it's their fault. Everything was fine before they came. And we have this really kind of nasty thing that's just in us. We want to blame other people for problems. Problems in our families, problems in our culture. But I think if you're being honest this morning, and I hope you are, you would say, we have deep, troubling issues within each one of us. And we want to talk about that this morning. So what is the solution? Some people say the solution is more education. As a former educator, I would agree that education is very, very helpful to solving problems. But does it solve those deep issues that we really have? Some people would tell you, if we just had better politicians, then our problems would all go away, because of course they would solve all the problems. You can talk to the people who are, you know, in the U.S. right now. I just don't know what's going on down there. It's like the entire, and I'm not making fun of people living in the U.S. I'm just looking from afar and I'm thinking, that's your solution? You're like, oh my goodness, that's it? I don't think that's going to solve any problems. You know, we had issues, you know, global, we've had global issues, of course, forever, but, you know, just think back to the issues we had with the Gulf War. Remember the Persian Gulf War and all that kind of stuff? And then it just kind of escalated and kind of went down and then came back up again. And then Iraq was taken over. Remember this with Saddam Hussein and all that kind of stuff? And you know, I think, you know, President Bush at the time, remember this? I'll talk about this in a second. Remember President Bush at the time? You know, it was kind of like, we got to go in there. We got to get rid of that dictator. And here's what we're going to do. We are going to go in there with Western ideals and Western culture, and we're going to set up democracy, and we're going to set up our commerce, and everything is going to be just fine. Let me tell you a story about the image you're seeing on the screen right now. Can you go to the next one for me, Daniel? You see the mark on the bottom of the statue? I want to talk about that man there who is hammering away at Saddam's statue. I got a quote from him, which is very, very interesting. Look at this quote. His name is Kadim Sharif al-Jaburi. I feel like Iraq was stolen from us. Bush and Blair. I'm not trying to get political here, okay? Because I have a British background, and so Blair is British. Bush and Blair are liars. They destroyed Iraq and took us back to the Middle Ages and earlier. Now listen to this. Saddam is gone. But in his place, there are thousands of Saddams. Brothers and sisters, solutions, deep-seated problems that we have need real solutions. And those kind of solutions there, they are simplistic and superficial at best. They don't deal with the real things that are going on within us. Maybe you're the kind of person like who goes this. Okay, I know I've got problems. And here's my solution. My solution is I am going to be a good person. And my strategy is this. I want to make sure I do more good things in my life than I do bad things. And you spend your entire life trying to do more and more good. The difficulty with that is you just never know. And you're kind of wishing and hoping that it all works out. But you really, really don't know. And so it's really not a solution to the problems that you have. And then some of you would say, well, I know the answer. The answer is technology. Technology and science. They will answer all of our problems. How many of you have more headaches today because of your phones, your computers, right? Let's be honest, we do. We have like, remember back in the day, oh, it'll be great when we've got robots that do everything for us. We can all hang out at the beach. What kind of a fantasy were we thinking of? No way! Technology and science, all of the things that I've talked about this morning, they do have their positive side. But they don't deal with the real problems that we have because our problems are deep-seated. Again, the title of this message is Washed in the Blood of the Lamb. Because I believe that is God's solution. That is God's solution. Why? Because you and I have sin. And there is no way to solve that with superficial answers. So this morning we're back in the book of Revelation. I hope you're enjoying this. I know I am. I want to take us to Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Del laid a great groundwork for us last week talking about the lion and the lamb and focusing on the lamb. And so when we're reading these verses, you've got to ask yourself, is it a lion or is it a lamb? Let me read the verses for you. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And we're going to come to that, so hold tight. We'll get there next week. And I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. And so what's interesting here is he hears one thing. He sees another thing. Is there a contradiction here? He hears the lion of the tribe of Judah. He has overcome. He has conquered. He's the worthy one. And then he turns around and he sees a lamb. So it's interesting that we've got these two things going on here. What we have to see is that as far as the Old Testament is concerned, Israel expected a conqueror to come. And that conqueror, they expected to be a lion. So if you go throughout the Old Testament, you will come across all kinds of imagery, all kinds of metaphors that are talking about there's going to be a conquering again. And it gives you that thought of lion. Even the disciples of Jesus, the closest to him, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, he says these words. The disciples said, "Are you, Lord, at this time restoring the kingdom of Israel?" And so very much in the Jewish thought was this: God is going to set up his kingdom on this earth, and he's going to do it through Jesus, and that lion is the one who's going to do it. Their thought was simple. Rome is our problem. If we overthrow Rome, we can set up the kingdom of God. We need another David, just like back in the day. Set up the kingdom of God, and everything will be fine. That is a political answer. That's the Old Testament way of looking at things. The New Testament way of looking at things is we need a lamb. We need a lamb. And this lamb must be a lamb that is willing to be sacrificed. So on the, is it a lion? Is it a lamb? And I would say, yes. It's a lion that conquers as a lamb. There is only triumph over our deep problems by the lion conquering as a lamb. And remember what those verses said in Revelation 5. The lamb is standing, but it's as though the lamb has been slain. And so Dell was saying last week, how do you get a lamb picture that's slain, which is there, and then go back to the other one, Daniel, and yet standing? But that's what we've got here. That's the picture that John is presenting to us. The deeper problem, brothers and sisters and friends, is we have sin. I want to show you a couple of quotes from a couple of brothers. One named Cornelius Plantinga. Pay attention to what they're saying. Sin is the disruption of what God has designed. What we see before us today is not what God designed. This is due to sin. So we've got disruption. God wants mankind to flourish. God wants human beings to flourish over all the earth. And yet sin has come in and disrupted everything. And sin, he says, tends to disintegrate both its victim and its perpetrators. Sin is so damaging. Here's another quote from Derek Kidner. He says, "Sin sets up strains in the structure of life which only end in breakdown." You wonder why. You keep trying things. Okay, it's a new year. I'm going to try again. And it always ends in breakdown. It's because you're going at it with simplistic answers. And the answer really is, we need something deeper. We need something to get to the root of our problem of sin. We need a lamb that is willing to be sacrificed. So we're left with disruption, disintegration, and breakdown. Let me leave you with another quote before we move on to our next point. Again, we're talking about the lion and the lamb.
Richard Bauckham says, insofar as the lion was associated with military violence and narrow nationalism, it is reinterpreted. And if you can understand this morning, you're doing really well. The Jews expected a lion. They were waiting for the lion. And yet when a Jew named John turned around, he saw a lamb. What is happening here? God is reinterpreting. He's helping us to see, yes, you need a lion, but more than a lion, you need a lamb. And a lamb that is willing to sacrifice. It is a reinterpretation by the image of the lamb that Messiah has certainly won a victory, but he has done so by sacrifice and for the benefit of people for all nations. You know, Israel might say, we want the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion was for Israel. I would ask you, who's the lamb for? Everybody. Do you want a lion or do you want a lamb? Do you want a lion or do you want a lamb? Actually, you should say, I want both. I want a lamb that has a kingly characteristic, who's going to come and conquer, but he's going to conquer in a way that a lion doesn't usually conquer. I want a lamb who's going to sacrifice itself, sacrifice himself for me, for my sin, to root out, to get to the root of my real problem. So I want to spend some time now in other parts of the New Testament to show you just exactly who that lamb is. John chapter 1, verse 29. Could you read this so I could get a little bit of water? Ready? Go.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
We've got problems and we all know it. We've got problems with sin. The things we think, the things we do, the things we speak. Here, listen to this one. It's not just the things you do. It's the things you should have done, but you didn't do. We let ourselves off so much on that last one. I know I should stand up and say something. I know I should do a certain thing, and yet I don't do it. That is as much a sin as the things that you did do and you shouldn't have done. We've got a problem. Let me ask you, what's God's solution? A lamb. John the Baptist said, behold, or here he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not, here's a lamb who, yeah, he acknowledges that there's sin, but you know, he's gonna set up a kingdom for you. He could set up the kingdom, but you've still got a root problem. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just in case you're wondering who that lamb is, that lamb is Jesus. John is pointing to Jesus, but he's pointing back in history. He's pointing back to two things. He's pointing back to the Passover lamb. I'll talk about that in a second. And he's talking about a lamb in the book of Isaiah. And I want to take us to the book of Isaiah first. Isaiah, these are out of order just for the sake of the message this morning. Isaiah says, like a lamb led to the slaughter, speaking of the answer that's coming in the future. He was pierced. I've purposely highlighted the personal pronouns and the collective pronouns. He was pierced because of our transgressions. That's sacrifice, brothers and sisters. He was crushed because of our iniquities. That's called substitution. I know what I deserved. I deserved to be pierced. I deserved to be crushed. But God says, you do. You do deserve to be pierced. You do deserve to be crushed. But here's what I'm going to do. I am going to send a substitute who stands in your place, and he will be crushed for you. He will be pierced for you. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him. If you're a believer today, you have peace because someone was punished for you. And we are healed by his wounds. So it's interesting in these verses, and he continues on, we are all like sheep who have gone astray. We have all turned away to go our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. And so what you see here in these verses is heavy, heavy emphasis on substitution. Him for you. Him for you. That's called substitution. What you deserved, he took. Because of your sin, he stepped in. But I want to show you one really important verse from the Exodus 12 account. I'm not going to go through the whole account for you. For those of you who are not familiar, God's people are in Egypt. They are under slavery and under bondage. And God is going to deliver them out. And God has given a whole bunch of plagues on Egypt to try to open Pharaoh's eyes to see there is a real God. And he is demanding you to set his people free. But he keeps on refusing. Eventually, there is one last plague, and that is the death of the firstborn. God's judgment is coming on that land. And just as much as the Egyptians were underneath that judgment of God, so were God's people. And so God, in the principle of substitution we just saw in Isaiah, has got to give his people a way out. And the way out was this: take a lamb. You must sacrifice that lamb. Kill the lamb. And the most important part was, take the blood of that lamb, go outside your house, and put the blood of that lamb on the top of the door and the doorposts. Now I want to bring you back to chapter 12, verse 13, because this is important. God is passing through the land that night in judgment. And the only reason he would pass by you and death would not come into your house is this reason: when I see the blood. When I see the blood. But you might say, Ian, I don't see the blood. I'm on the inside of the house. It doesn't matter. What matters here is God sees that blood. There was a sacrifice that night for the people in that household and every household that did it. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Here you see God's judgment and you see substitution as well. Jesus bore God's judgment on the cross for sin. Jesus was our substitute on the cross for our sin. Jesus deals with our deeper issues. Many people don't quite put this together, but I'm not going to linger on it this morning. But do you realize when Jesus died, he died on the Passover? That is so significant. The people, the Jewish people, are celebrating the Passover. Jesus is dying on the cross. The reality of their Passover was right there in front of them. Right there, he's hanging on the cross, bleeding for their sins. Wow. And just a brief note. Dale pointed out last week, just wanted to point it out one more time, the wounds of Jesus, they don't go away. It's, you know, when eternity comes and we're all get, how many are ready for a new body? Some people, okay, let me try that one more time. I don't expect it from young people because, you know, they're just so happy with that body right now. Other than the fact he wants to sleep all the time. How many of you are ready for a new body? Because that's what you are promised, you know, in eternity. You don't just get renewed on the inside. You get a new resurrected body. I'm ready. I am ready. I am tired of having Crohn's disease. I am tired of what it does to my body. I hate it. And I'm only 50. So I don't know what this body's gonna be like when I'm older than that, like when I'm 55.
Yes, really old.
Be, how old are you, Nigel?
67.
67. Oh my goodness, I'll be falling apart. I'm ready. I'm gonna be ready for a new body. But you know, here's one beautiful thing about our Jesus. He has a body that is brand new, but it still bears the scars. We will never, ever forget the reason we have access to God, the reason we can be together with God is because of the blood of the Lamb. Amen? That's why you get to be there. I want to talk about your response now for the next 12 minutes or so. Your response. This is really important. You can have followed me so far and said, Ian, I get it. I understand what you're saying. I understand what God's solution is. But let me tell you, your response is really, really important. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. They read this way. You were redeemed. For those of you not familiar with what that word means, it means you were purchased. There was a price on your head, and God paid that price. You were redeemed, not with perishable things like silver or gold. You know that heavy weight that is upon you because of sin? No amount of money, no amount of success, no amount of anything that you accumulate or you accomplish in this world is ever going to take that weight away. Oh, it'll cover it for a little while, but it'll never take it away. You were redeemed, not with perishable things like silver or gold. You were redeemed with precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb. And then in chapter 3, wonderful. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. You see that substitution and sacrifice again? That's the answer. But look at this, that he might bring you to God. God wants doors open. God wants free access to him, but sin is blocking you from him. And Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to open the way so you and I have access to God. When you receive Jesus, you have the blood of the Lamb on your soul. You can't see it, but you know it. You have the blood of Jesus Christ on your soul. And God sees it, just like he saw the blood on the outside of the doorpost. I want to show you a verse in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. In case, again, you're not familiar with that word, propitiation, because of our sin, God has anger and judgment stored up for sin. He, that is Jesus, he is the propitiation. He took the hit. He bore the wrath. He took the anger of God for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. So my question to you now is this. Have you received it? It's one thing to know that Jesus has shed his blood for you. Have you received it? Don't think that this verse is saying, oh, it's done. I'm off the hook. No, it's you got to receive it. You got to receive what God has done for you. Jesus has made the payment. Have you received it? And I'm going to ask you one last question. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's a really important question. In Revelation chapter 22, I'm bringing in verse 12 again, just to give you a little bit of context. It says this, look, I'm coming quickly. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me to repay each person according to what he has done. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Blessed are those who wash their robes. You know, this might be strange to you, but maybe this is talking about our daily lives. Our robes talk about our conduct, our person. Are your robes washed in the blood of Jesus? When you're at work, do you come out from your being washed in the blood of Jesus and you're just a kind of an employee that just is there? You know the blood of Jesus has been applied to you. And yet, for some strange reason, whenever you go to work, you kind of leave that standing as a blood-washed, redeemed believer in Jesus. And you're trying to be just like everybody else. And God is saying, would you stop doing that? When you go to school, when you're in your social events, are you washing your robes? Are your robes washed in the blood of Jesus? And we'll go a little further. In chapter 12 of Revelation, God's people are under attack. And the attack is from the devil, and he is accusing them. And again, I've put in a little context for you. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. You know, when you're under attack from Satan, when you're going through it, those dark periods that you're going through, do you remain? Do you conquer? Do you overcome? Not because of your great mind, your great strength. Do you overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Because that is the best way to defeat God's enemy. He is so afraid of the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to leave you with one last verse, Revelation 7:14. And I'm going to ask you to read so I can drink. Ready? Go.
These are the ones who washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Have you washed your robes? Have you washed your robes? Are they white in the blood of the Lamb? The blood of Jesus makes dirty robes white, makes dirty lives clean, makes dead lives alive. The blood of Jesus is able to go way beyond what we think. Everyone thinks they have a solution. Now you know God's solution. But I wonder, what solution are you counting on? If we were playing poker, and I'm not a poker player, so I have no idea. But if we were playing poker, and you were so confident in your hand, I know what you do. You take all your chips, and what do you do with them? I'm all in. I'm pushing my chips all in. But I wonder, have you done that with Jesus yet? Are you that confident in your solution? Are you that sure about your solution that you're all in? I'm all in on I'm going to be a good person in because I know that's what's going to make the difference. I'm all in on technology and science, and you know what? This whole God thing is just overrated. I'm all in on that. That's what you're counting on? Really? I'm just going to live a good life, Ian. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm counting on that. You kind of hope it works out, don't you? When you're relying on your own solution or the solution of somebody else who you think it's a good idea. Only problem is you got no assurance at all. So I want to leave you with two things here. You can put your hope in superficial human solutions. You're scratching the surface. You're never, ever solving the real problem. That's on the one hand. On the other side, you can put your hope in God's definite, time-tested solution, the blood of the Lamb. That blood gets to the source of the problem. I want to pray. And I'm going to invite you to pray. I realize in this room, there are a lot of people who already are washed in the blood of the Lamb. This prayer is not for you. This prayer is for those who do not know that they are washed in the blood of Jesus. They don't have that assurance. But here's what I am going to ask the rest of you to do. While I'm praying, would you please pray for those who are not sure? I need you to stand with me as I'm praying. Stand with God as He's approaching people right now. So if you're one of those people, I'm not going to embarrass you or ask you to stand up or anything like that. I'm just going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to follow me. God will give you the solution that you're looking for this morning. Pray in this way. God, I am a sinner. I need your help. I don't want to rely on my own solutions. I take your solution this morning. God, I repent of all of my sin. I receive what Jesus has done for me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Don't let pride get in your way. Don't let your past get in your way. I did this before, and I'm gonna do it again because I think it is an important thing to
confirm what just happened. So I'm going to ask everybody here just to close your eyes and, you know, put your heads down. And I really want to talk to those of you now who, you know, you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, but you just prayed that prayer to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm just going to ask you to put up your hand, because it's good to confirm that you have responded to Jesus this morning. Again, don't allow your pride or your past, your image, to fool you at this point. On the count of three, if you prayed that prayer to be washed in the blood of Jesus, I'm going to ask you to just put up your hand quickly and then put it down again. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. It is so joyful to know that people are responding to God this morning. Let me finish us in prayer. God, thank you so much for your presence here this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving us the solution that you have made available for us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus Christ to spill his blood, to pour out his life in sacrifice for us, becoming our substitute. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen.
We worship you this morning. I just want to pray for everybody who raised their hand that their life from this point forward would be marked by the blood of the Lamb in everything they do and everything they say. Amen?